Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I'd like us to go to that epistle reading, and I appreciate Mr. Whitney going into each part of the armor because I want to focus first and foremost on the first part of this text before we get to the armor. And you see it on the screen, Ephesians 6, 10 to 13. And I'm going to reread that again. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. And here ends this text. You know, when you think about it, and as Mr. Whitney shared in the game of baseball, there's other sports, contact sports, that it's necessary to have the proper equipment for protection. And then in the realm of the military, to the other end of the scale, certainly you need protection there. It's too bad Luke Kunze isn't here today. I put the Badgers up there to honor him. But, you know, as you think about those linemen, 6 foot plus and all averaging around 300 pounds, would you want to just go out there with bare feet and maybe jeans and a t-shirt and say, yeah, I'm going to run through those guys as they're trying to take me out? Probably wouldn't be too wise, would it? Or would you want to send your kids onto the field to go against something like that? Or we can go to the other end of the scale, and here's the Marines, and I tell you what, they are armored in many different ways. And imagine being their enemy, and imagine if you're coming against them or attempting to, and you know, you have virtually no weapons and you have virtually no armor. That would be downright deadly, wouldn't it? And so in different realms of life, when we consider those kinds of uniforms and equipment, that's huge and very powerful, but it's nothing like the enemy that is described to us this morning. And unless we acknowledge and recognize the battle, you know, we really see no need for any kind of armor. And the tragedy in our culture today is most people deny that Satan even exists, and they see no need to be concerned about his presence among them, nor any necessity of having any kind of armor in order to confront him. But we are blessed as Christians to know the enemy. And we are blessed to hear from God that he does give the armor that is necessary. And what a blessing that it's in our possession. But you know, the first thing is we must recognize the enemy. And I think even among Christians today, there's probably kind of, at least in our culture, there's probably a sense of not taking that enemy all that seriously a lot of times. But when we hear God through his word expose the enemy, it's quite a reminder to us of just how masterful Satan is in his scheming and his approach to destroy lives. And so I just want to go through a few things that God reveals to us to expose Satan so we appreciate perhaps more the armor that God provides and that is necessary for us to wear. You know, Satan attempts in subtle ways to lead us away from Christ. And I put subtle in there. He can weasel in the most subtle ways that we hardly recognize what he is doing. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, and I apologize for the typo there. It should be 2 Corinthians. But Paul writes, "But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning," and that's what I want you to pick out of that verse, "the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ." Now look at the ends of the scales in that verse. You've got the subtlety of Satan and his cunning approach, and he's not approaching people that don't believe. He's already got them. But according to those words, who is he going after? Not only those marginal Christians, those who maybe like to use the name of Jesus, but really believing not so much. No, look at this. Your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. That's somebody that's very strong in their faith, and who's going after you? But it's Satan with his cunning approach. And so the Lord wants us to be aware. He exposes Satan for what he is attempting to do. And he is a liar, as was brought out in the children's sermon. In John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus exposes Satan among the Jews who were trusting in all the wrong things instead of trusting in Jesus. And he confronts them in this very harshly. "You belong to your father, the devil." And he goes on to say, "He was a murderer from the beginning. There is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." I don't know about you, but that gets my attention, that he is a liar, the father of lies, and in this subtle way, he's going to try to manipulate what is really true in your life. He's lying to you. And the Lord exposes his lies through his word. Another thing that Satan is classic at is he puts evil suggestions into people's minds. And we hear in John chapter 13, verse 2, with reference to Judas. Remember, Judas betrayed Jesus, one of that inner circle of disciples, one of the apostles. We hear this of Judas. "The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus." Had prompted him. And this is one of the apostles. This is one of those that was following Jesus, and Satan prompts Judas to turn against him. He's exposed by the Lord. We can't see him, but the Lord reveals him to us and the schemes he's all about. We hear also in Scripture that, this is an interesting one, he promotes a counterfeit wisdom, quote unquote, on the wisdom. And talk about subtlety again. He does this in James chapter 3. You see it there on the screen. "But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such," quote unquote, "wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual," and then look at that, "demonic." And look at, in our culture, the things that are promoted. Isn't it really selfish ambition? You know, just charge out there. If you got to mow down everybody around you, it's okay. You're number one. Just, you know, achieve the goal that you want to achieve. And Satan is right there cheering us on in that very counterfeit wisdom that the world heavily promotes. He promotes immorality, and we could go all over Scripture seeing where Satan just feeds on immorality. He is a master at discouraging. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, time when the church was so severely persecuted at the time John was inspired to write these words. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, "Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah." And this last part is what I want you to really hear this morning. "For the accuser of our brothers and sisters who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down." Now think about that. Do you ever feel like you are under accusation? Do you ever feel as though you're just not quite good enough for God? You know, a lot of times in hospital calls, I'll hear people, you know, "Boy, Pastor, I remember I did this in the past," and I know where they're going with that. They're thinking that somehow God now is punishing them because of that sin, maybe that's still unresolved from the past. But whose voice is really there? Satan. "Yeah, I'm accusing you. And boy, you're down and out now. You're laying in a hospital bed, and maybe you don't even know if you're going to live through this." And Satan's right there saying, "Yeah, and guess what? God doesn't love you because look what you did in the past." Oh, he's a classic at accusing. But look at Revelation 12:10. The Lord exposes him. The authority of the Messiah exposes him. Do you know that Satan, the name Satan, literally means adversary? Interesting. We should daily recognize and acknowledge that there's an adversary, very powerful one, by the way, that is hanging around with us daily because he has his goals to destroy us. The devil, the term devil in the verb form means to bring changes with hostile attempt. Boy, those are nice words, aren't they? Adversary, bring changes with hostile attempt. That's what Satan is all about. And then to add insult to injury, he is a master at disguise. A master at disguise. And that's why it's so necessary that he be exposed by God so that we can truly see the disguises that he is working under. The Apostle Paul, when there were false prophets coming into the early church where the gospel had been presented and they were presenting another gospel after Paul and the other disciples had been there, and Paul confronts the church at Corinth with these words, "Satan masquerades as an angel of light." Think about that. That ought to get your attention and mine, right? He masquerades himself as an angel of light. He is the master of disguises. Jesus in Matthew chapter 7 describes the false prophets, the false Christs, and who's the energy behind those? Satan, of course. But they appear as wolves in sheep's clothing. And so they look very good on the outside. Looks like they're one of us. They're one of Christ's precious lambs. And yet Jesus says, be careful, and it's going to be revealed by the things that they do, but they are ravenous wolves within. And the disguises Satan is a master at, but we need not fear because the Lord exposes him, as he's doing for you and me this morning, simply through the word that he preserves for us. You know, elsewhere in Scripture, and these are all in your outline, by the way, you can look them up later, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, some of the titles that are given to Satan: God, little g, God of this age. So the Almighty God refers to Satan as a god of this age. Also in Ephesians 2, Satan is referred to as the ruler of this world. Those are powerful titles, aren't they? God, ruler. 1 John chapter 5, unbelieving world, God, the unbelieving world, God says, is under his control and his influence. And so when you turn on the news, you shouldn't be shocked to see what's going on out there in the unbelieving world, what the thought processes are, what the wisdom of the unbelieving world is, what is being promoted. It is all satanic. It is all generated. The catalyst is Satan. And the one that probably gets the greatest attention for me of all is when we think about his power, God, ruler, and in control of the unbelieving world. But then, as we think of 1 Peter 5:8, look at these words. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. What do you think? Do you believe that? Hey, it's God's word, right? But do you really take those words to heart? And I ask myself that too. I mean, a lion's a pretty scary thing. When I was in high school one time, I loved to hike the canyonlands on the border of Nebraska and Colorado, northwest of Sterling. And coyotes never really bothered me. But here I was by myself, and there was a pack of probably 15 coyotes, and they were running right towards me. Now, that did kind of get my attention. I thought, what do? I can't run. That might even draw more attention. So I decided I'm going to act like I don't even notice they're there, and I'm praying. And you know what? They just went straight by me within 10 yards, and they acted as though I wasn't even there. And they just kept going. I don't think that would happen if I was on the plains of Africa out by myself and this lion just happened to be meandering around. But the lion described by our Lord isn't just meandering around, right? What's he doing? He's seeking you out. He wants to devour you. Now think about that when you leave your house in the morning. Think about that when you come home to your home in the evening. Who's lurking around? And he's very powerful. Just looking for the, you know, lions are classic. It's interesting that God uses a lion as an illustration because they really do kind of approach it with quite a process, don't they, on going after their prey. They're looking at where the easy prey might be. They're looking at one that may be separated a little bit from the group. I mean, they are intensely scanning their prey out there to see who they're going to go after. Do you think Satan does that with you? Or with our families? Or with our neighbors? Or with our coworkers? With our friends? And yet it really saddens me and frightens me in our world today that a lot of kids aren't even given the time of day about Jesus, let alone knowing the danger that's with them all the time. Seeking whom he may devour. That's Satan's goal. He wants to destroy your faith in the time that he has. And by the way, that time is relatively short. When Jesus returns, his time is over. But in the meantime, he wants to take as much of the church with him as he can. He already knows he's defeated. But he's sure going to try to take as many with him before Jesus returns. If we stray away from Christ, then we're like that prey that's out there off by itself. And there were no match for a lion. And we're certainly no match for Satan in and of ourselves. But what has the Lord done? He's given us the armor. You know, this text began, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. In the Lord, in the strength of his might. You can't miss the point that God is bringing across. We can't do this by ourselves. But in Christ, we can do all things, where we hear elsewhere in Scripture. But here, specifically, the Lord affirms to us that we are blessed with armor. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. And so God doesn't ever, ever leave us defenseless. But we are called to stand on the foundation that he provides for us, knowing that he has already defeated Satan. The Lord isn't just speaking the words and not carrying through the actions. God never does that. But he promised the victory from the get-go. Remember when Adam and Eve fell into sin? Who was there? Who was there with his schemes and his disguises? It was Satan, right? And after Adam and Eve gave in to Satan, God confronted Satan and said, by the way, I'm sending the seed of the woman. And that seed of the woman, no other than Christ himself. And Jesus has come. We are blessed to live in the history of the victory of his coming. We are blessed to know the battle that raged on in the wilderness. Remember when Jesus went out in the wilderness and was severely tempted by Satan? That ought to get our attention too. Did Satan know who Jesus was? Yes. And he kept saying to Jesus, if you are the Son of God. And Satan knew that Jesus was the Son of God. If he did that with the very Son of God, what do you think he's trying to do with you and me? But how did Jesus confront him with the word, the sword? Satan, it is written. Here's the Son of God. He is the Word that has come into the flesh and dwelt among us. But Jesus is quoting the Word that is already written down. And what a blessing for you and me, because we have the same defense and attack mode with the sword of the Spirit. It is written, Satan. It totally exposes your lies. But we can't do it without the armor, without the equipment the Lord provides. You know, in Colossians 2:15, this is a great comfort in light of what we're looking at today. Look at those words. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. It's wonderful when we walk in, we see the cross. It's a reminder to us of the sacrifice made for our sins by Jesus, and it's a reminder to us of the victory won. And look at that. Having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. This is the victor. This is the Messiah. This is our Lord. And it's our Lord who comes to you and me today and says, I don't want you to miss the point of how powerful this evil foe is, but I want you to know that I've won the victory and my hands are testimony of it. It's how much I love you. And by the way, I'm giving to you the armor because I want you to be safe. I want your kids to be safe. And it's only with the armor that God provides. And so we heard, and thank you, Mr. Whitney. That was a really neat children's message with the prayers behind each one. So I'm just going to go through these quickly. But what is the armor again? But it's the belt of truth. We have God's truth. It exposes the lies. The breastplate of righteousness. By the way, when we were baptized, what did we receive? Righteousness. We received Jesus' clothing. So as a baptized child of God, we are wearing his righteousness. It covers our sin. And so when the accuser comes to you and me and says, oh, remember what you did in the past, we can show him our clothing and say, you know what? Jesus is covering me, Satan. And he says, I remember your sin no more. And instantly, what does Satan have to do? He has to flee. But think how many adults and kids buy into the accusations. And they go down a road of hopelessness and despair. The gospel of peace. Jerry, I was sharing with you your shoes this morning. You know, Roman soldiers, they had spikes in their shoes, kind of like football cleats. They wanted to have good traction so when they took their position, they wouldn't slip, but they could stand upright and firm. And so God has given us the gospel of peace. And when we know that we are at peace with God, when we know that God's peace is with us, we can stand upright and firm against whatever the enemy may be that stands against us. I love Romans 8:31. If God is for us, who can be against us? He's much bigger than that lion. He's much bigger than those badger linemen. He's much even bigger than the Marines. He is all powerful. And he gives us that shield of faith. And you know, Satan, he's got a pretty powerful weapon. He's shooting those darts at you and me daily. If we don't have the shield, we have no defense. And those darts are doubt, self-accusations, depression, despair, addiction, and the list can go on and on and on. He's just bombarding us with temptation. But the shield, they bounce off. And through the waters of baptism again, wearing Christ's clothing, we have the shield, having God's word and hearing it and allowing it to mold our lives. When we receive the Lord's Supper, our shield is being refreshed and strengthened ongoing, and no match for Satan. I mean, Satan's no match for the shield. He can't penetrate it. And then we are given that helmet of salvation, which really is hope. That we live with hope. Even on the worst of days in this world, we have the certainty of everlasting life. Satan can't attack us there anymore. And we have the sword of the Spirit. God has provided everything. Don't you love in A Mighty Fortress, Luther's great hymn, one little word will what? Fell him. One little word. You know, in our text here from 1 Peter 5:8, with Satan being like the roaring lion, the next verse in verse 9 is, resist him and he must flee from you. And it's resisting him in the Lord. Well, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I hope this has got your attention like it has me. It's a reminder of just how powerful this enemy is. We're no match for him by our own power and strength. And may that be an encouragement for us to reach out to our kids and our grandkids, but start with us individually first, to be in the Word, to be in worship, to receive God's means of grace, to not be a loner, but to be in fellowship with one another, to encourage one another, be in Bible study. And oh, does the Lord work amazing blessings. Remember your enemy. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, authorities, cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. But who won? Jesus. It is finished. He said at the cross. And we live in the victory. In Jesus' name, the victor and the one who provides the protection. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.